Is streaming killing the movie theater business? Sling TV gets an update, and the new sports streaming service gets a CEO. These are the topics I'll cover on this week's episode of the Saturday Stream. Now, this is yet another week of me recording very late on Saturday, so this is becoming the Almost Sunday Stream. I've considered rebranding this to something else, but we'll see what I do. I might call it the Weekend Stream. But knowing me, if I do that, it may end up becoming the Monday stream. So maybe it's better if there's not a time or day of the week involved in the name of this endeavor, but we'll see. So let's get on to talking about our first topic this week, which is that a new poll from the researchers at HarrisX and reported by IndieWire shows that 34% of US adults, when asked, prefer to watch movies in theaters versus 2/3 that would prefer to wait for them to be released on streaming. Now, they did go over some factors that influenced people's preference for seeing something in a movie theater versus waiting for it to come out on streaming, and this is what they said. These are the important things to these people. So among those who prefer to watch a movie in the movie theater versus wait for it to come out on streaming, 59% said an important factor was the experience of watching a movie on the big screen. Pretty vague. Okay. 47% said the quality of surround sound systems. 39% said escaping from distractions at home. For me, this is a reason why I go to the movie theater, frankly. 37% said theater recliners, 32% said refreshments, and there were other factors. 30% said the movie is shown exclusively in theaters. I'm surprised this wasn't higher. 30% said things like IMAX and 3D premium formats. So going over to the people that said they prefer to wait for a movie to be released on streaming, which is the biggest group, 2/3, 53% said an important factor was the cost of movie tickets. Okay, that makes sense. 42% said the cost of concessions. 40% said they enjoy the comfort of viewing something in their home. 24% said they're straight up not interested in the movie theaters. And 23% said concerns over hygiene and sanitation. If you've seen a video, actually a photo floating around on Twitter that went viral of someone who passed out drunk at a movie theater recently, that makes me think of that. And if you haven't seen that photo, perhaps you should be thankful. 22% said they need to pee and they want more bathroom breaks, which is a very reasonable thing. I mean, some of these long-ass movies that came out last year, like Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon, both fantastic films, but they are very long. And when movie theater chains tried to, you know, insert an intermission so people could go to the bathroom, which I think is very reasonable, the studio said that they couldn't do that. So I feel like if they want people to come into the movie theaters, just give us the time to do a little tinky winky. I don't think that's so bad. So, you know, I am a big supporter of the movie theater business. I am an AMC Stubbs A-list member. I am volunteering with a film festival, which is at a movie theater. I am very much supportive of people going out and seeing films when they are first released. It's not surprising to me, however, that there are such large numbers who prefer to wait for something to come out on streaming. I do wonder how much of this is specifically related to streaming, and you know, if you were to poll people 20 years ago about renting movies at Blockbuster and watching stuff on DVDs, would these numbers be the same thing compared to movie theaters and watching a movie at home, even if the ways to watch that movie at home were a little bit different? I suspect they might be about the same. But, you know, it is hard to ignore that over the past few years, you know, even before the pandemic, fewer people are going to the movie theaters. That's just something, it's a fact. So the movie theater business has been pivoting, trying to adjust to these changes. You know, it was interesting. Cinemark, they've begun to rebrand some of their movie theaters as Gamescape. I live in the Kansas City area. One of our Cinemark theaters has 20 screens on it. They're planning to reduce it down to 10 screens. And the other half of the movie theater will now be taken up by a space that has laser tag and has arcade games and a bar and things like that. It's bad news for some of the smaller movies because that means there's a less real estate space for them to, you know, get a screen. Those 10 screens are most likely going to be devoted to the biggest blockbuster films, not films that have been in theaters for a long time, not special screenings, things like that. But I don't blame the movie theater business for doing what they can to keep the light bulbs on either. We've seen them do things like offer merchandise. You know, the Dune 2 popcorn bucket went viral for multiple reasons, but you know, that likely helped AMC theaters and drove some buzz around the film. And you know, you are seeing a lot more things like that, and also the ticket prices are going up. And so that is kind of a balancing act with these movie theater chains. You know, as less people go to the movie theaters, they've got to make money somehow, so they raise the prices. But then that might drive people away. I do think things like AMC Stubs A-List, I mentioned that, I'm a member, I'm not sponsored by them or anything, I just think it's good service. I think Cinemark does a similar service. You go to the movie theaters a lot, I think signing up for something like that can be worth it. But, you know, I like streaming, I like having access to all of the different things that we do, but I am a big supporter of the movie theater business. I don't think streaming has killed the movie theater business. I think there's a variety of factors that have gone on over the past few years in particular, like, you know, pandemic and whatnot. Last year, we did see a pretty good year for the movie theater business. Things are showing signs of bouncing back. We had Barbie, we had Oppenheimer. This year, I don't know if we're going to have a Barbenheimer situation again. Maybe we'll have a Boppenheimer situation. I don't know what that is, but I'm excited for it. But we have films like the Joker sequel. We've got Wicked. We've got the Fall Guy, which is an original film coming out in the summer. Has two of the stars of Barbenheimer, Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. Got a lot of good you know, reviews and buzz out of South by Southwest, so I think that could be a really big movie. So we'll see what happens. But moving on to our second story, it is about Sling TV. Now, if you have the Sling TV app on your device or your television, you may have noticed that they did get an update rebrand. The logo is a lighter color. They are bringing TV back into the name. They weren't using the TV branding. They were just using Sling for a while. So it looks like they're going back to the old ways. So far, the app is pretty much the same. They haven't changed. They haven't done a complete aesthetic overhaul. And their website looks pretty similar, too. So, but I do suspect that perhaps there will be some of those changes coming up in the future if they're changing their logo. There are some new features that they added. There is an auto record feature. This coming, you know, just ahead of March Madness, allows you to automatically record sports broadcasts. I was surprised this wasn't something they already had, but okay, sounds nice. There's also an arcade feature. This is only available on Amazon Fire TV and Android TV devices, but it lets you play games like Tetris while you are watching TV. So that's kind of, you know, something some of the streamers like Netflix and Apple and different people have begun to experiment. So I guess that's unsurprising, but we haven't really seen that from any of the other live TV streaming services, at least that I can think of off the top of my head. So that is pretty interesting. So we'll see what happens with Sling, trying out some new things, trying out a new logo. Where are they going? What's going on? We will see. Peter Distad, this is our next story. He has been named the CEO of the new sports streaming service that's being launched by Disney, Warner Brothers Discovery, and Fox. Now, this streaming service is coming out later this year. We still don't have a date, and we have very, very little details, but their announcement that this man has been hired as the CEO shows that the wheels are indeed turning. Now, you may recall that Fubo is suing to try to prevent the streaming service from forming. There's an investigation from the Department of Justice. It's been reported that the sports leagues, like the NFL, are not happy about not being part of the loop on the streaming service. So there's a lot of people that aren't happy about this and are trying to stop it. But, you know, I personally, yeah, I've said this before multiple times on this YouTube channel, and I'll say it again. I do think that this is going to go forward. I don't think anything can prevent it. With Peter Distad, he has worked for Apple and Hulu. He led business operations and global distribution for video, sports, and Apple TV Plus at Apple. Now, there, as the Hollywood Reporter, you know, said in their article, the press release suggests that the companies have not made a final agreement for their service. So they're still ironing out the terms of the agreement between these three different companies, Warner Brothers Discovery, Disney, and Fox. Kind of interesting that they haven't finalized that yet, but they are bringing in a CEO. So that shows that, yes, this is indeed still going on and still kicking around. So, and this guy has a lot of experience in the world of streaming with, you know, both Apple TV Plus and Hulu. So as more details come out, I will cover this. This is just kind of a breadcrumb we've got for now. We still don't have pricing. We still don't have a launch date. We still don't have a whole bunch of things about this streaming service. So we'll see, you know, how this shakes out. So let's go on to the streaming charts. These are from Nielsen, and as a reminder, I say this every week, but these are delayed by a few weeks because Nielsen, with the way they collect their data from the streaming services, it just takes a little bit. So we'll start out with the top movies of the week of February 12th through February 18th. Now, keep in mind, this is when Oppenheimer came to streaming, at least to one of the SVOD services for the first time. It was on premium video where you could, you know, pay like $20 to download it. But this is the first time it was included with a streaming service. And it, you know, sure enough, it was a very popular film in the movie theater, and it was also a very popular film on streaming services. It's at number one. And with Peacock, you know, not being as nearly as large, you know, as something like Netflix or Hulu, this is definitely a victory for them, I'm sure. At number two, you've got Lover, Stalker, Killer from Netflix. You know, lots of things in the crime genre do very well on Netflix. Number three, Super Mario Brothers movie. Holy moly, this just keeps dominating these charts. You know, there were other big films of 2023, like Barbie, that we really haven't seen, you know, popping around on these charts. But Super Mario Brothers movie, that has done very, very well for Netflix. Number four, we've got Players. Number five, The Marvels. This was the number one movie the previous week. It's gone down to number five at Disney Plus. You know, we'll see how this continues to play out. Number six, Dune. Now, this was on Hulu Max and Netflix. You know, likely Warner Brothers Discovery was trying to stir up excitement around the Dune franchise ahead of Dune 2 coming out. Moana at number seven. Disney has announced that the Moana sequel is coming out this year. That, I believe, was a Disney Plus series that they are reworking into a film. American Assassin at number eight, Orion in the Dark at number nine, and Seraphim Falls at number 10. That was a Western film. So let's go on to the original shows. This is also the week of February 12th through 18th. Number one, Love is Blind. I believe this was a new season's premiere. They have 76 total episodes, and that all contributes to these charts. But that continues to be very successful. I haven't ever gotten into Love is Blind, but I, you know, I get the appeal of it. Those reality shows tend to do very well on Netflix. Griselda, number two. And keep in mind, this only has six episodes. It is really incredible what Griselda continues to do on these charts. People really, really watch the show. And, you know, finally I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch this show. And I watched it, and it's really compelling. It's a, you know, just about a single mom trying to do what she can to support her children, even if it involves a little pew-pew, you know what I'm saying? Number three, One Day. This was based on the Anne Hathaway movie and the novel. Number three on Netflix. Keep in mind, this is also the week of Valentine's Day. Number four, Halo. That's, you know, this is the second season on Paramount Plus. I believe it debuted at number three, if I remember correctly, in previous weeks. Mr. and Mrs. Smith at number five. Reacher at number six. Those are both on Prime Video. House of Ninjas at number seven. Now, this one I had to look up. I don't recall hearing anything about this show on social media or people talking about it. It is a Japanese show about ninjas. And, you know, I guess the title is, you know, accurate. And it's just kind of interesting that here's this show at number seven that I didn't hear people talk about it at all, and yet it was the number seven most viewed show in all of the world. So, if you watched House of Ninjas, let me know in the comments, what did you think of House of Ninjas? Number eight, Masters of the Air on Apple TV+. This only had five episodes at the time. I don't recall seeing this in the rankings in the previous weeks. This one I did see advertised. It has, I believe, Austin Butler in it. I haven't watched it. Number nine, The Crown on Netflix. You know, with all of the talk of the royals and Kate Middleton and everything, if you've followed that on the internet, that's kind of wild what's going on right now. You know, this is The Crown is always, you know, going around at some point. So I think the attention on the royal family just helps that show. I wouldn't be surprised if they announce some kind of spinoff or a continuation now that they are officially wrapping up The Crown, you know, and the focus on Queen Elizabeth. It just seems like a given, like just make more episodes of The Crown. And then at number 10, we have Luz, The Light of the Heart. Now, this is actually a Brazilian children's series, live action series on Netflix. You know, shows the power of their international reach. We've got this this TV series had 20 episodes, which is quite a lot, debuting at number 10. I believe this was the debut. I might be wrong about that. So that does it for the streaming charts. Which of these shows and movies have you watched? Let me know in the comments. As always, if you liked this video, make sure to give it a thumbs up and be sure to subscribe to this YouTube channel to stay up to date with all things streaming. Every week on Saturday, possibly Sunday, or Monday, whenever, I will be coming at you with this new video. I do plan to release these episodes as an audio format at some point as a podcast, so we'll see how that shakes out. Thanks so much, everyone, for following, and see you next week.